Lord, for life, for health, for strength. God, that we could be here this morning. We thank you for a government that allows us to gather in this way. And God, we just continue to pray for them and the decisions and the choices and the ways that they are governing the people that you placed under their care. Father, as well, we just want to open ourselves to you here this morning as we gather. Our time together here this morning is not really about us, it's about you. And we want to open ourselves to you. We want to listen to what you have for us. God, we just we want to sit attentively at your feet here today and have ears that hear and hearts that are open and soft to what you have for us. So God, as we worship you here today, we pray that you would speak to us. We pray that you would just invade this place through your Holy Spirit. And as you speak to us, that not only would we hear and place those things in our heart, but we'd put them into practice as we leave this place here today. And again, Father, thank you for each one that is here today. And just speak to us, God, and as we worship you here today, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.
Good morning. We welcome you to come in from the foyer and worship with us.
Give us pure hearts. Come let us adore
week when I was choosing songs, of course, I knew that it was Mother's Day. And so I kept flipping through the songs like, okay, Lord, show me what songs I'm supposed to be leading. And he kept bringing me back to songs about salvation. And so I was obedient and I put in the songs about him, his glory, and salvation. I think it's comforting for those of us that go through Mother's Day, maybe longing to be mothers. I went through those years for many years. Or missing our mothers, maybe for the first time this Mother's Day. Or we just don't have a relationship with our mothers like we wish we could have. Or maybe everything's great between mothers. Whatever that relationship is today, I'm thankful that we have a Jesus that loves us regardless, that we have a Jesus that accepts us regardless of our past, and that we have the opportunity to serve him, just like we have the opportunity to serve any mother or any woman in our life. So this next song has been on my heart a lot. I heard it months ago, and I put it in my phone like as a note to myself that I want to lead this song. And then, yeah, it's just been running through my mind. There's a lot of words in this song, so I hope that you can, yeah, concentrate on the lyrics and sing them. I'm going to stop talking and just lead music.
Let's pray. But yet you loved us. You gave your son for us, die on Calvary's cross, and we can gather together here today clothed in your righteousness, a crimson robe that you've washed white. We're so grateful for that, so thankful for that. And again, Father, just thank you for the opportunity to be here. Please continue to speak to our hearts and to our minds, and may we continue to worship you from the depths of our hearts for who you are and for what you've done. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our dear Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Well, again, a welcome to each one of you here this morning. For our visitors, a special welcome to you. Good to see you here with us this morning. And trust you'll sense the presence of the Lord and come and worship with us again soon. I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Hosea this morning. Book of Hosea, chapter 11. And again, a special happy Mother's Day to all of the ladies here this morning. And as Jean shared this morning, I'm sure that there's a wide mix of emotions and feelings and thoughts here this morning. But maybe to bring us a bit all together here this morning, I want you to raise your hand, and don't be bashful this morning, to raise your hand if you have a mother. She's either living or she's passed away. Do you have a mother? All right. So we're all together here this morning, right? Regardless of what all else is going on, we all have experienced that. We all have a mother. And what a blessing they have been. And as I share in the devotional this morning, I'm going to read this first and then make a few comments. Hosea chapter 11, God is sharing his love for his people and saying some things and sharing some things in a way here that I really sense, you know, is like a mother's love. So Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Scripture says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. As they called them, so they went from them, they sacrificed to the Baals and burned incense to carved images. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them." And God is sharing through Hosea to his people his great love for his children, his love for those who were under his care. And the many different ways that he did that for them, says when they, in essence, when they were young, when they were a child, he walked with them, he talked with them, he carried them in his arms. He provided for them the things that they needed. He drew them with gentle cords. And I couldn't help but think of my mother, and I'm guessing your mothers as well. As you think back, especially when you were young, and maybe those of you that are mothers today or even grandmothers would be able to see the picture that's being laid out here. How for a number of years when a child is small, a mother does all of those things for them. Cares for them, changes diapers, feeds them, nourishes them. Helps them learn to walk and picks them up when they fall. All those kinds of things. And I don't want to make it sound like you don't get any reward for that. But your two-year-old doesn't normally rise up and say, "Thank you, Mommy. I really appreciate that." And the book of Proverbs talks about that. If you look in Proverbs 31, it's when a mother gets towards the end of their life that the children rise up and call them blessed. Right? Children rise up and call them blessed. Yet they don't. A mother doesn't wait until then to do those kinds of things. A mother just does those things because she is a mom, because she has a love. And it reminded me in my own life. I had to turn it back to myself. You know, when we're first believers and we're all excited about our relationship with God. And oftentimes we thank God, and when we pray with him, when we talk with him, "Thank you for my salvation. Thank you." And a lot of the things that we sang about this morning, we're all excited about that. And then when we maybe get older in our relationship with him, or it's been a long time, we tend to sort of dwindle off on that, and we don't maybe thank him and appreciate what he's done for us like we should. And it seems to be in the physical world in a sense that it works the other way. A small child, yes, they'll give you a hug and a kiss and all those kinds of things, but it's later in life that when you become a mother, you become a parent, you start to realize all the things that your mom did for you and all the sacrifices that they made. And so you begin to thank them and do things for them in ways that you didn't think about when you were young. So they kind of got those two things going on. That's what was going on in my head this morning with this. But to recognize that God loves us. He loves us. And whatever great ways that you can remember that your mom, your grandmother, some other ladies in your life have been just so special to you, God has gone far beyond that. Far beyond that. We want to continue to thank him and worship him for that. He did that for Israel, and he does that for each and every one of us. He's a good, good father, and we want to thank him especially on Mother's Day here this morning. So let's pray again, shall we? Father, this morning again, we want to thank you for this day set aside to honor mothers. And Father, we just thank you for the mothers that we each have had. And Lord, whether that relationship is just wonderful and great, or maybe there is a strained relationship, or there's no relationship, God, we recognize that, especially when we were young, that there were someone, or maybe more than someone, who cared for us, who loved us, who provided things for us that we could not provide for ourselves, some type of a mother figure in our lives. And God, and they poured into us in many different ways. And Father, whether they were ever thanked for that or shown that kind of love, we recognize that you use them in that way to bring us physically to adulthood. And in many ways, Lord, as well, the ladies who have poured into us spiritually and brought us to spiritual maturity, teaching and guiding and directing our lives. Father, as well, this morning we recognize that you are a God of love. You care for us far more deeply than they do. And we're so grateful for your love for us, the way that you care for us as a young child. You encourage us, you challenge us, you carry us, you are just so gentle with us, and we're so thankful for that. God, again, thank you for your love this morning, and may you continue to be blessed this morning. May we continue to lift your name up. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This time,
my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I will love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say, when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and end, crown on my brow. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
And if you are able, would you please stand for number 310? Song number 310, Come Thou Fount.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed with precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Sunrise, looking back from the so forever I am thankful for the skies. So forever I am thankful for the skies.
As he shares to us, Lord, help us to recognize that it's a message from you to be applied to our hearts and to our minds. So help us to hear you here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, church. It is good to be here this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord with his people celebrating Mother's Day. And to the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day to you. It is a day of, I think Jan hit the nail on the head pretty well. She said it's a day of mixed emotions, and I think it is. And it can well up a different range of emotions in each of our hearts because of the circumstances we may have found ourselves in. It could be you're looking to have children and that's not happened, or you're looking to maybe a broken relationship with a mother, or maybe even looking to just some struggles that you're having in your family. And Mother's Day can bring out a wide range of emotions. And I don't want to spend a lot of time addressing those range of emotions because I don't know how. I guess I'll just be blunt. I don't know how. And I don't know how to even begin or where to even begin with that. But what I want to do this morning is I want us to look at some characteristics of a godly woman, a godly mother. I want to look at five characteristics of a godly mother. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, it's a familiar passage, section of scripture that is very, I guess, very easy to read through and easy to think about, but I think when we look at the meat that's in here, it's a little bit tougher to live. a little bit tougher to digest into and then live out in our everyday lives. And really, my entire focus this morning is going to be putting the characteristics that we see in a handful of verses in here, in kind of crafting them and tailoring them to apply to mothers, to apply to the ladies in the congregation this morning. Mother's Day is not an easy sermon to preach. I was not really excited when I saw that my name was on for today to preach this Sunday, not because I don't love you mothers or you ladies. I love you dearly. You have spoken into my life in many, many ways. But because it's hard for me to speak into maybe the things that you go through, the things that you think about, the things that you have to process through the lives that you live. But I do know one thing, and one thing for sure, that the joy of preaching and preaching biblically is I don't have to speak into your situation. I don't have to speak into your life. I don't have to speak any sort of words of wisdom, whatever the Lord might give me, to maybe encourage you or to build you up. All I need to do is be faithful to what the Word of God says. And that's my intention this morning. That is my goal this morning. God has gifted you ladies in a very unique way. He has gifted you in a way that is you're able to love, you're able to care, and you're able to nurture children. And not even just children, but people in general. God has gifted you in a very special way to do that. And I know that's true because when my kids are hurt or sad or just need care for something, they don't run to me. They run to mom. They run to my wife. Because she is gifted in care, in nurture, in love. And as amazing as that gift is, and as much as I want to encourage you in that gift of being able to love and care and nurture, I think there's something much bigger and much more important that God has given you the ability to be. And that is a godly mother. That is a godly woman. And that's what I want to look at this morning. So if you're there in Colossians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 17. Let's stand together as the body of Christ as we read the word together. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Paul here writing to the church in Colossae, words for us this morning. He says this, "So as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and graciously forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against you, just as the Lord graciously forgave you, so also should you. Above all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of your word. Thank you for the practicality of your word. I pray this morning, Father, as we address this subject of living godly lives, and specifically to the ladies and mothers in the congregation this morning, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak. God, use your word to do the work. Use your word to cut deep, and may it bring you glory and honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the letter here to the church in Colossae, Paul is taking time to deal with basically three main issues. You could break this book down a million different ways, but basically taking time to deal with three main issues, the first of which is the supremacy of Christ. And we find that in chapter 1. The supremacy of Christ. The supremacy of Christ as God's Son, the supremacy of Christ in salvation, and the supremacy of Christ in the church. That is the most of chapter 1. And then he also wants to address combating or fighting against false teaching. We see that in chapter 2. Paul takes some time dealing with false teaching in the church. And then finally, in chapter 3, he spends some time encouraging the believers in the church to mature. Encouraging them to mature. And our text this morning falls right smack dab in the middle of that section of encouraging the believers to mature. And this text is really centralized and put forth in the context of the church. This isn't really a Mother's Day text. This isn't a text specifically for women. This is a text specifically given to the church for ways that the body of Christ can deal well together, mature together, and be one in relationship. That's what Paul is dealing with here in this chapter. And our text finds itself in verses 12 through 17, kind of laying out what it looks like to be a new man. To be a new man. But just prior to this, in the earlier part of chapter 3, Paul kind of sets the stage for what he's saying here in verse 12 with laying out what we used to look like. It's one thing to know what you're supposed to look like. It's also another thing to be reminded of what your old self, before you came to Christ, the old man, what they looked like. And he starts that in verse 5 and he goes through verse 9. He says, "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also lay them all aside, wrath, anger, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its evil practices." So from this list and statement to the end of verse 9, where he says, "Since you have put off the old man with its evil practices," this transition, this list kind of then moves and transitions itself from the old man into what the new man or what the new woman is to look like. How they're supposed to walk, how they're supposed to live, how are they supposed to interact with those around them. Whether it be within the church, within the home, or within the community, it doesn't matter. The principles apply to each phase of our lives. Then in Colossians 3:10, Paul makes this transition very clear. He says, and have put on the new man. You who are believers have put on the new man who is being renewed to a full knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. This verse is key. Before we move from the old man to the new man, before we move from the old woman to the new woman, we need to know this verse. This verse needs to set deep inside of us because it really sets the stage for everything Paul's going to say that we looked at in verses 12 through 17. It's important. But why does it matter so much? Because church, and especially the ladies in here today, who you are matters far more than who you were. Who you are this morning matters far more than who you were. Your identity in Christ is super important. And ladies, it is important for you because it matters. It matters to God. It matters to your family. It matters to your husband. It matters to your community and to your church. All of this matters. Who you are in Christ matters deeply. Why? Because as a believer, you have the full ability and capability to be an image bearer of Christ. Only as a believer. You have the full ability and capability to be an image bearer of Christ. And it says right here in verse 10, being renewed to a full knowledge according to what? To the image of the one who created him. In Romans 8:29, Paul kind of fleshes this out a little bit more. I think he makes it very clear. He says this in Romans 8:29, because those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn among many brothers. This is key. This is vital to being able to put into practice everything Paul's going to say in verses 12 through 17. Why is that? Why is this key? Why is this important? Because knowing who you are in Christ, ladies, will lead you to walk in Christ. Knowing who you are in Christ will lead you to walk in Christ. And I want to issue a warning this morning, a deep warning to you ladies, and really to this entire congregation, to myself included. If you try to do the things that we're going to be looking at, these five characteristics, if you try to do these things on your own strength and your own will, the best that you will ever be is a Pharisee. The best you will ever be is a Pharisee. Somebody who desires to be praised for something they look like, not something who they really are. Somebody who is not securely rooted in Christ, and therefore all the things you do will just be done on a works-based relationship. You'll be working your way to looking like a godly woman. And church, we do not want that. God does not want that. That's why Paul puts in here, before he even goes into this list, know who you are. As a believer, you are being conformed into the image of Jesus. Know who you are. Rest in that identity. Know who Jesus is and what he's done in your life, and then act. Then act. So let's look at these five characteristics. The first one is found right in verse 12, and that is character. First characteristic of a godly mother is character. Paul says, so as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Paul, again, notice the verse 12. Not only does he hit it in verse 10, but he also hits it here in verse 12, reiterates the importance of knowing who you are in Christ. He says, so as the elect, the chosen, the beloved of God, you are holy. You are set apart and loved by him. Know that first, ladies, mothers. You are holy. You are beloved by Jesus. You have been chosen by God. That is special. That is special. Rest in that. But then from that, we look at the character. What does that look like then? After reminding him of this truth, he lists off these defining characters, these clothes, these things that you are to put on. And it's interesting that when he says put on, in the Greek, it's a present imperative. In other words, it is a continuous command. What it's doing is saying, you could simplify it by saying, put them on and then keep putting them on. You don't just put them on once and then call it good. You continue to put those same clothes on each and every day. I think one of the most common phrases of women, and maybe this is just in my household, common phrases of women when they walk into their closet before church on Sunday morning is, what am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? Or, I don't feel like I have anything to wear. Which is interesting because their clothes take up 90% of the closet space, but I don't have a problem finding out what I'm going to wear. Anyways, what am I going to wear? That's a question most ladies ask themselves when they look at their wardrobe. And I know there's complicated things that go with that, so don't beat me up for that statement. But one thing you can't say when we look at this list is, what am I going to wear? It's clear. Paul makes it very clear. Jesus makes it very clear. Ladies, what are you going to wear? How are you going to look as a godly woman? He lays it all out here. Very, very clear. It's your character. And what is this character? The first thing he says, it's a heart of compassion. You have a heart of compassion. A godly mother, a godly woman has a heart of compassion. And mothers, this might come a little bit more natural for you than us guys. And again, that's a God-given thing. But that doesn't mean you're not going to struggle with this at times. That doesn't mean that this isn't going to get tested in your everyday life. A heart of compassion means that you have a genuine sensitivity and a heartfelt sympathy for the needs of others. That could be your family. That could be your community, it could be your church, your husband, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is, but a heart of compassion is something that you put on each and every day that has a genuine sensitivity and sympathy for the needs of others. Do you wear these clothes? Is this part of the garments that you're putting on? Or do you more often live by the phrase, well, you made your bed, now you can lay in it? It's a question to ask. The second characteristic, kindness. Kindness. This clothing is one that acts in a way that regards others better than yourself. That's really the only simple way that you can define kindness. I can show you kindness, but to define it is basically just showing a regard for somebody in a better way than yourself. Do you put your family, ladies, do you put your family above you? Do you put the people around you above you? Do you treat them kindly even when it's not easy? This is part of the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, everything else we're going to look at in these characteristics are part of the fruit of Spirit, of the Spirit. These are the things that must radiate out of your life as a believer. The next thing he hits is humility. Humility. Philippians 2, verse 3, Paul clarifies humility. In fact, he does it through the life of Christ. says this, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or vainglory, but with humility of mind regarding," this is defining humility, "one another more important than yourselves." Are you humble? Mothers, are you humble? Do you serve your family in a way that doesn't require praise for the work you've done or recognition for the things that you do? Do you live and serve in a humble way to the people around you? And Jesus was the ultimate example of this humility, right? Paul moves on in verses 6 through 8 of Philippians 2. He says, "Who," Jesus, "although existing in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped." But here's what Jesus did. He emptied himself, which means he left it all, taking on the form of a slave, being made in the likeness of men, and then being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's what Jesus did. That is perfect humility. Now, ladies, we don't expect perfect humility. And men, do not expect it from your wives. But what the question you need to ask yourself is do I live a humble life? Do I live a humble life? The next piece of clothing is gentleness. Now, this is a kind of clothing that you put on that is soft in care, but still stern in truth. Gentleness is being soft in care, but stern in truth. Basically, it's strength under control. Some versions say meekness. It's strength under control. Ladies and mothers, are you gentle with your family? Are you the kind of woman who says and does things in a gentle way, yet still speaks the truth and lives the truth? Do you do that? Is this a piece of clothing that you are putting on? And finally, Paul says the last piece, the last characteristic is patience. It's patience. This one might be the hardest one for most of you. It is for me. But this word basically means that you know how to deal with difficult circumstances or people. That's the kind of the gist of what Paul is saying with this word. It means an attitude that no matter how long or how hard it is to love, you do it and you wait. And you're patient. You wait. 1 Timothy chapter 1 illustrates what this word means in verses 15 through 16. Paul here writing to Timothy says, it is a trustworthy saying and deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost. And then verse 16, yet for this reason I was shown mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Christ Jesus might demonstrate all his patience as an example for those who are going to believe upon him for eternal life. Brothers and sisters, Jesus had extreme patience with you. He's had extreme patience with me. I am a work in progress. You are a work in progress. That is the model of patience. That is what women, ladies, mothers, that is the kind of patience you are called to. It's the kind of patience we're all called to. But are you willing, ladies, to be patient with your children, with your husband, with your coworkers, with your friends, and those you are in relationship with? Are you willing to be as patient with those that are in your care or that are in your influence as Jesus has been with you? Are you putting on this godly character? Remember, and please remember, these clothes that you put on are because of who you are in Christ, not just to look good or be good. They're because of who you are. Paul moves on to the second characteristic of a godly mother, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Find that in verse 13. Paul begins his challenge with a statement. He says to bear with one another. This is not a suggestion. This is a statement. Bear with one another. And being a mother and bearing with one another is not always easy. I'm not a mother, but I am around my wife quite often to watch her mother our children. And it's not an easy task. Sometimes it takes a lot of forbearance. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of being willing to bear with difficult situations. But you don't just bear with those situations or endure them just for the sake of doing so to get through it. That's what a victim mentality does. Oh, I'm just going to deal with this lot in life. This is tough. This is hard. That's a victim mentality. That's not what Christ is calling us to do. He's actually attaching this bearing with one another with an action. What's he say? Graciously forgiving each other. bearing with one another, dealing with the shortcomings, dealing with the problems, working through them, but doing it in a spirit and attitude of forgiveness. And notice the standard for this forgiveness. It's not just as much as you feel like you want to or as much as it feels good. How you should forgive is just as the Lord graciously forgave you. Mothers, putting on the godly characteristic of who you are in Christ affects how you treat the people in your life. It deeply affects them. And many times the testing ground for the character and call to live in forgiveness as a godly woman is found right inside the four walls of your home. Many, many times. You don't have to go too far to have to practice bearing with one another in living in forgiveness. But doing so, as Paul says here, just as the Lord graciously forgave you. And this is a call to continual forgiveness. Jesus didn't just forgive us once and call it good. He forgives us every time we ask. He's a gracious and forgiving Savior. And this is a call for you ladies, mothers, to live in forgiveness, forgiving of problems, irritations, grievances, and sins that occur within the home. John Perkins was an African-American civil rights activist, and he was a pastor. During the 60s, he was part of the big civil rights movements in the state of Mississippi. And he tells a story in one of his kind of testimonies when he was arrested and found himself in a Mississippi jail. And he was beaten repeatedly. He was kicked, stomped on. He was beaten with different nightsticks, police officers using their feet. Many times these police officers were drunk. He tells of one night when he was laying on the floor of a jail cell in the pool of his own blood, as he just got done taking a beating in between beatings, after he gained consciousness, a lot of times these beatings would happen to basically had knocked him out. After he gained consciousness, he came to his senses, and during one of those conscious periods, one officer decided he was going to take it to the next level, and he ended up pushing a fork down his throat. And as barbarous and horrible as this torture was, it gave him a great reason to hate. But that's not what happened. As John Perkins tells it in his testimony, he says this. He says, "The Spirit of God worked on me as I lay in that bed. An image formed in my mind. It was the image of the cross and Christ on the cross. It blotted out everything else in my mind. This Jesus knew what I had suffered. He understood. He cared. Because he had experienced it all himself. This Jesus, this one who had brought good news directly from God in heaven, had lived what he preached. Yet he was arrested and falsely accused. And like me, he went through an unjust trial. He also faced a lynch mob and got beaten. But even more than that, he was nailed to rough wooden planks and killed. Killed like a common criminal. At the crucial point, it seemed to Jesus that even God himself had deserted him. And his suffering was so great. He cried out in agony. He was dying. But when he looked at the mob who had lynched him, he didn't hate them. He loved them. He forgave them. And he prayed to God to forgive them. He said, 'Father, forgive these people, for they know not what they're doing.' His enemies hated, but Jesus forgave. I couldn't get away from that," John Perkins says. "It is a profound, mysterious truth. Jesus' concept of love overpowering hate. I may not see its victory in my lifetime, but I know it's true. I know it's true because it's happened to me. And on that bed full of bruises and stitches, God made it true to me. He washed away my hatred, and it replaced it with love for the white men in rural Mississippi. I felt strong again, stronger than ever. What doesn't destroy me made me stronger. I know it's true because it happened to me." Mothers, the call to live and walk in forgiveness and to act and live as Jesus did is modeled in Jesus' life. Do you possess this characteristic? The third characteristic Paul talks about is love. Verse 14 It says, above all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And this verse echoes what Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. He says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, love does not work evil against a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Ladies and mothers, how you love in your home, how you love your family, your husband, the people around you, is the glue of unity. It is a glue of unity. It is a kind of love that transcends mistakes and challenges and mirrors the same love that Christ gave you. And really, it is love that allows you to have the character of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, what Paul just talked about. And it is love that motivates you to forgive as God has graciously forgiven you. Because without love, each one of these characteristics and forgiveness fall apart. They just completely fall apart. Because if you don't have love in doing them, you're doing it for selfish gain and recognition. In fact, even the word used here for love is the word agape, which you have heard many a times in this church, means an unconditional and sacrificial love. Mothers, are you loving your family? Are you loving your family? The fourth characteristic Paul points out here is in verse 15 of Colossians 3, and that is peace. Peace. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ in the life of a mother will lead to peaceful hearts and peaceful homes. It will lead to that. Now, I can assure you that this doesn't mean that it's going to be free of tension, free of arguments, free of problems, free of issues. It doesn't mean that. That's not what the peace of Christ is, because it's never been modeled that way. The peace of Christ is found in Romans 5, 1 and 10. In verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Mothers, you have the peace of Christ when you are in Christ. And you have the peace of Christ when you submit to that peace of Christ, when you let it rule in your heart. It's a very key word. Paul doesn't use this word rule just kind of flippantly. He puts it in there for a purpose. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. This word is actually an athletic term. It's an athletic term. It's where we get our concept of an umpire or a referee. To let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. This word rule is like an umpire or a referee. In other words, Paul says, let the peace of Christ be the one that dictates how things go. How they work in your heart, how things go in your life, how they go in your home. Let that peace of Christ, that reconciled relationship with Jesus, do that. Let it rule and reign in your life. And when this is the case, the peace of Christ will determine how you handle tension, how you handle arguments, how you'll handle differences, and how you'll handle decisions. Because it's got the full overarching control of your life. It's the peace of Christ that sets the rules on how you manage your home and your family. The last characteristic of a godly mother is they're rooted in his word. A godly mother is rooted in his word. Paul finishes in verses 16 and 17. He begins verse 16, says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I love those words. They paint a beautiful picture. Dwell in you richly. Mothers, ladies, does the word of Christ dwell in you richly? How do you have the word of Christ dwell in you richly? This word, this phrase, really lends itself to relationship. It lends itself to relationship. Relationship with God's word, but most of all, relationship with the Son. Relationship with the Father. In fact, the word dwell that's used here means a permanent residing. What permanently resides in our lives? The Spirit of Christ. As believers, the Spirit of Christ is what permanently resides in our lives. He says, let the word of God permanently dwell in you richly or abundantly. And this is something that happens habitually and daily. It's a conscious choice. It's an effort. It's a discipline to have this happen. And when the word of Christ dwells in you richly, it empowers you then to act correctly. Verse 17. He says, and whatever you do, or word or deed, do all to the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When the word of God dwells in you richly, it empowers you then to act correctly. And mothers, this is of the utmost importance. It is of the utmost importance. It is not one to be taken lightly. Allow that word of God to dwell in you richly through communion with Jesus and his word. It will transform the way you look at things. It'll transform the way you live. It will transform the way you love. And will give you a foundation and a baseline for how to lead and love your family. Mothers, the job you have is of the utmost importance. The utmost importance. This is one that you are to take with a serious matter, as a serious matter. It is one that greatly determines and defines the course of many, many generations. How you do and how you mother affects many, many generations. And I don't say that to put weight on your shoulders. You have enough. I say that to inspire you to look into God's word. Look to Christ to lead you. Look to Jesus for your hope and live from your place of identity. Live in love from that place of identity. The calling you have is one that it says here in verse 17, to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your ability to have the characteristics of a godly mother are completely hinged on your relationship with Jesus. And if either are suffering or lacking, if your relationship with Jesus or his word are lacking or suffering, it will have a massive effect on how you live out these traits. It will. So mothers, embrace this high calling. Know who you are in Christ. Live out that identity and stay rooted in Jesus and his word. And God will take care of the rest. God will take care of the rest. He will give you the ability to be a godly woman. You don't have to try harder. You have to trust more. Jesus will do the rest. Let's pray. Father, this morning I come to you thanking you for the women, the mothers, the ladies in this church. God, thank you for how they have spoken into the lives of so many of us here today. How their love and their nurture and care have just greatly influenced many generations after them. God, and as amazing as their love and nurture and care is, Father, we know that your word calls mothers to a higher calling, to be a godly woman. God, we know that that is not something that can be done just based on trying harder. It's not something that can be done because they want to. It's done when they submit and trust in you. When they grasp the identity that you have given them in Christ. When they live that out in a rooted, deep relationship with you. So, Father, I pray that you would encourage all of the mothers in here today. Encourage those who are in the midst of mothering, that have little ones, have young people, have teenagers, whatever it may be, still living at home. And they're still caring for them. They're still loving them. I pray that you would encourage them. Help them to have the godly characteristics that you want them to have. Give them the grace and strength to do so. Lord, I pray for those in here who have lost their mother, who are suffering this morning, who are hurting this morning. I pray that you would give them the grace and strength to go through this time. Not in grief, Father, but in joy. knowing that you are the one who have led their mother, God, to be the woman that she was. Lord, for those in here this morning who are desperately wanting children, and you haven't granted that yet, I pray that you'd give them the grace they need. Father, not living a life out of an idea that you aren't loving them or that they're doing something wrong, but Father, living their life recognizing that they have a sphere of influence around so many people. Give them the grace and strength they need to love those that you have put in their care. And Father, for all of us as a church this morning, I pray that you would root in us a deep desire to have the word of Christ dwell in us richly, so that whatever we do, whether word or deed, that we would do all to the glory of Christ, because that's what it's for your glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't have any announcements.